You are tuned in to the Red Pill Hardcore Double Dosage After Show. Double Dosage After Show. After Show. After Show.
After Show.
Yes, yes, thank you. Thank you for tuning in, staying here with us. This is the Double Dosage After Show. And I do believe we have, I know we have my co-host, and then we have Melvin Punch joining us for the After Show.
Yes, good evening, everyone.
All right, that's great. And I want to say thank you, great job for finding Fritzy. She's a wonderful, beautiful soul. Fritzy, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yes. Hello, Fritzy. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. How is this, Melvin?
Yes, it is. It's a pleasure to finally get a chance to talk to you.
I know.
Your words...
Was I okay? Perfect.
Oh, your words, they touched my soul. You know, the project, yes, your Compassion Prison Project is a beautiful thing. You have compassion for all individuals, all of humanity, and that needs to be perpetuated more. People need to understand, like you stated, that it's love and compassion that will save society, not violence and just locking people up and throwing away the key. That is absolutely not the way to go. What you were stating about the childhood trauma and how it has an adverse effect on an individual throughout their entire life is absolutely correct. It's spot on. A small child who's been exposed to violence or some traumatic event will carry that event with them through their entire life. And they'll relive it constantly. And it has and it has an effect on their actions and their choices.
Absolutely.
People need to know that. Yes, ma'am. Now, a lot of people in this country feel that when someone commits a crime, that the only option is to lock them up and basically throw away the key. But you have a lot of productive and useful individuals who are just sitting in prison idly, and their lives and their productivity is being wasted. I'm coming from a perspective that is kind of unique. I was a former corrections officer in Rikers Island in New York City. So I seen, you know, the inside of the prison system from being part of it. And I also have to state that I have been incarcerated too. So I've been on the other side. So I've experienced, yes, the criminal justice system from both sides. So I'm coming with a unique perspective of it. But there's a country in Europe, I'm not sure if it's the Netherlands or...
Norway,
exactly. Yes, ma'am. And they don't lock people up and just leave them basically in a cage to waste away hours and hours idly just sitting there and, you know, becoming more and more frustrated. Like you said, that's more trauma than... possibly that anyone deserves.
It's inhumane. It's inhumane what we're doing, especially solitary confinement. And
yes,
you know, in the maximum security prisons, it's 23 hours in their cell. So it's unconscionable.
It absolutely is. And it seems to me that society kind of perpetuates the violence on these prisoners that they are being convicted and locked up for. Society seems to be maybe more violent and more criminal in their actions than the individuals that are being accused of that and being locked away. But I just have to say, I understand from your perspective, I was listening to the previous show, excellent show, and you've been a victim of trauma and, you know, violence yourself. And so you understand firsthand the effect that it has on an individual. But you were able to channel that. You stated that you had a mentor. Everyone has a mentor that took the time out of their life to kind of guide you and instruct you on the proper way to be and, you know, proper behavior. No one gets to where they are unless someone gives them a hand up. No one got to where they are on their own.
Yeah. So, I mean, we all need to be seen. People need to see us, that we have potential. We all, like, every child wants to be seen. That's all they want to be told. My son every day comes to me and wants me to tell him how great he is. And I try and do that every day and tell him he's great. That's what we all need. But we all need that. You know, Melvin, you're great. V, you're great. Rob, you're great. You're all fantastic. I'm just going to say it right now so you get that said, because we need that, right? Don't you think, Melvin?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. But I wanted to ask you a question. Now, how did you come up with the idea of the Compassion Prison Project? Was that something that you came up on your own, or was it a group of individuals that, you know, you were brainstorming and you decided that that was the way to go? What actually initiated you to put that project together? I'm just curious.
I went to a Hustle 2.0 day at Kern Valley State Prison. And I walked in there and I said, okay, these guys aren't the worst of the worst, first of all. And second of all, this is a trauma center. Everybody here is just traumatized. I don't know why we're incarcerating them. They're traumatized just like me. And then I asked Kat Hoke, I said, when are we coming back? And she said, in 6 months. And I said, well, that's ridiculous. And then, so I was like, I'm going to do my own program. I'm going to just start something. And then 4 months later, I walked into Kern Valley. I went back to Kern Valley and I said, you know, I love you, to the 25 men that I was working with, and I'm traumatized. Let's get busy. And that's the story.
And that's wonderful. You know, God works in mysterious ways, and he takes individuals like you to basically put forth his plan for compassion and love and, you know, guidance for all of us. He works through us, and more individuals need to put aside their anger and their frustrations and take some time to care about those who are less fortunate than themselves, because we're all here together in this struggle, and we're not going to make it out of it unless we all come together and unite. We are one human race. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Yes. Unite and you know, instead of looking at our differences, find out what we have in common, which is a lot more than what's different. You know, I mean, we all want to say, well, you know, they believe this, therefore, you know, they're wrong. Well, who cares what they believe? That's just themselves working out their magnificent, you know, algorithm. But what do we have in common? We all want a good school to go to. We all, our children to go to. We all want good food. We want to be healthy. We want to, you know, we want the same thing. So why can't we all just find a way to work together instead of, you know, singling out this Democrat for, you know, their arrogance, or this Republican for their arrogance, whatever. You know, we're all just so righteous that we're forgetting, you know, our humanity in all of this.
You're absolutely right. That's spot on. Most people, they take the time and they are so focused on the differences between, you know, one another. This guy is tall, he's fat, this guy is black, he's white, he's male, he's female, instead of focusing on what we all have in common. And like you stated, we all have basic goodness in us, and we all have the same goals, that we want what's best for ourselves and our children. And, you know, it's just confusing to me how society seems to more instigate the differences and separation between individuals as opposed to trying to find a way to unify us. It seems to me that society is intent on doing that. They have a plan. They're doing it intentionally.
Okay. Guys, I wanted to go to the phone lines here since we have some callers here. let's go to line one. Texas, go ahead.
Hey, well, hey, fellas, appreciate that. No, I really appreciate this young lady and what she's doing. So my motto is harm nobody and their property, and you're free to move about the country. And I used to wear a T-shirt back in 2009 that said that, and I got so many people saying, how can that be? Well, look, there's no victim, there's no crime. That was on the back of the shirt, no victim, no crime. And we end up with all these different people, you know, like all these people who've done drugs and whatnot, they've been thrown in prison and whatnot. But you know what? Or these people who have drugs or the dealers, oh my God. Nobody's putting anybody in a headlock to go buy this stuff. These people come there willingly to get it. So nobody's doing anything. So the dealers aren't guilty of anything. All they got is a product somebody wants and people are coming to buy it. And you have to look at it like that. It's not harming anybody except for the person who wants to be harmed. And they have to be the ones who decide where they want to be harmed. Now, having said that, these people end up in prisons and it's for life and whatnot. And then we get these, oh my God, for-profit prisons. People who are making money off of these prisons, putting these people to work, and guess who is on the boards of these for-profit prisons? The very judges that are sending these people to prison. If that's not an oxymoron, I have no idea what is. I mean, for God's sake, we have limited people's freedoms to a point where you can end up in prison simply for, rebutting against the cop when you know he's violating your rights. And the Constitution says if anybody should violate your rights, you have the right to take him down. You have the right to kill him. It's in the Constitution. Look it up, people. Your rights are sacred, okay? They didn't come from the Constitution. They didn't come from the government. They are supposed to be protected by the government. That's it. We got it from God. And I really praise you for doing that because, young lady, you're doing a justice to everybody. And there's so many people in prison right now that do not deserve to be there. But because of these for-profit for prisons, I mean, everybody's being abused right now. And this whole thing that's going on right now with COVID-19 just shows you how much power they have over us. Anyway, I'd like to hear your rebut on that.
Well, I think, you know, just the people taking drugs, by the way, most of them are self-medicating. So, I mean, we're putting drug users, you know, drug addicts in prison when they're just trying to take care of their childhood trauma. That's my perspective. And I do think, you know, we have to take the profit out of prisons because, first of all, most of the people that are in prison are really poor. Their families are poor. So it's another tax on the poor. So why are we doing this? We created poverty, which is a construct, and now we're punishing them for being poor. I mean, we are punishing the poor any way we can, and it's a crime. I mean, imagine if you were that poor, and then you couldn't even pay for your son's new sneakers in prison, or a phone call from your son. It costs $2 a minute or whatever it is. It's all this, you know. The profit that is on prison is like the profit. It's like what they did in the Middle Ages. This is like Middle Ages stuff. This is like, you know, it's usury. I don't know what the word is, but it feels just so like ancient, like what kings did to the plebeians, the peasants. And, you know, he took their last potato. Like, what are we doing? You know, we have enough money. Why are we taxing our poor people, and why are we constructing these institutions of abuse? I don't understand. Is that enough of a rebuttal?
Well, no, but there's more to that. Think about the people that are middle class people and stuff, and they get caught up in some sort of assault for domestic violence or something like that, and they didn't really do it. Their wife was pissed off. She was drunk. Blah blah blah. Now this guy, he loses his company, he loses his job, he loses everything because he's kicked out of his house. He has to remain out of his house until the trial's over. And how many people they've put in poverty? So you're right. They're not only are they striking the poor and putting them in there, they're making people poor because now you're in the system, you're going to be there for a while, and you made this guy poor, and now what has he got a result to now? Because now he lost his wife, his family, his car, his house, all this stuff. And now he's got no way to support himself or his family, so what's he going to turn to? I don't know. You tell me.
Exactly. And then he comes out and he's got a felon on his record and he's never going to get a job, you know? It's like, and why do we have scarlet letters? Why are we shaming everybody? They've done their time. I mean, they, and this time, this in this example, he shouldn't have even done any time. Like, why are we shaming everybody? You know, enough of the shame. Let's just get people back in, back to work, back to life. Let's have a life. Let's give them back their lives. Jesus, what are we doing?
And it's funny.
100%, Fritzy. And also, another point is that when these parents are thrown in prison, the adverse effect that it has upon the children, who no longer have their mother, their father, and they are just going about aimlessly with no guidance or, you know, love that a parent would give to a child, they're creating the next generation of prisoners by doing that. Now, 100%. I'm not saying that, you know this, when you mentioned the statement you made about people that used drugs, self-medicating. Now, there's a country in Europe, I'm not sure if it's Norway or Sweden or the Netherlands, where people can use any drug and not be incarcerated for it. It's not a crime for them to self-medicate on any narcotic that they choose. The crime rate in that country has gone down dramatically. The prison population has been greatly reduced. But in this country, the drugs that are in the neighborhoods are mostly in the poor neighborhoods, like you stated. That's not being brought in by the individuals that are using it. Those are usually affluent individuals who have the money and the capability to bring these drugs in. Sometimes it's even the government. We had the scandal with Ronald Reagan and the Contra thing.
In Portugal, they have the heroin clinics. So you can go and do heroin in a clinic. When you legalize drugs, remember what happened when we legalized alcohol? There were no more crime. There was no more crime, there was no more Al Capone. That's what's available to us, because people are going to medicate until we deal with this trauma. So why are we shaming them? Why are we shaming them? Let's take care of them. Let's give them the drugs they need until they can work it out. Once you take the shame away, they're not going to do as many drugs. People aren't going to be as depressed if you say there's no shame. You know, it's there is no shame, by the way. There is no shame.
Like you said, they can sell alcohol because the government can get money from the taxation of it. Cigarettes are probably 10 times more addictive than heroin, but those are free to buy. And the only reason that people are being incarcerated for these so-called illegal substances is because the government can't find a way to tax it. Now, marijuana is now legal. The government has a monopoly on selling it. But we have thousands of individuals who are incarcerated for selling marijuana, and they've been there for years.
Yeah.
It's just a ridiculous system. They need to change it from top to bottom.
Yes, the DA needs
to
get in there.
For a moment. We got a system that the government props up. Let's just call it what it is. You have a privatized prison system that was proposed by the very politicians that are invested in the corporations that run them. You have a big pharma industry that feels they are the only one that could give pleasure or take pleasure away, so to speak, because these drugs do induce pleasure in people that they can't find in their normal realities. And, well, when alcohol came out of prohibition, it was still organized crime. It just changed directions with the extortion, prostitution, gambling, and other ways, you know, paying for your safety in your neighborhood. Let's say you ran the local newspaper stand, and if you didn't pay protection, they burned your stand out. But the organized crime was still there. And now the organized crime seems to be in the higher offices of the government that's supposed to do what's best for us, but they do what's best for their own private interests. The OxyContin issues might often start with just you've had pain, you've been in pain because you have an injury, and then they just trickle it out to you after giving you big dosages. So you would go to the streets to seek out an alternative, something to make your pain go away as far as physical pain. So the heroin and stuff was a easier thing to find. A lot of us are aware that the CIA smuggles drugs into the country. So they can use their drug-pushing abilities to chain down neighborhoods into impoverishment, into bad situations that then traumatize other people because of the very nature of it. in Flint, Michigan, when the government policy of NAFTA caused a chain reaction of the auto industry to move down to Mexico, a city just went absolutely to the wild, wild west. I lived there for a year and a half trying to flip houses because I actually bought a house for $1 because people just wanted out of their investments. There was no work. People do have to feed their kids. They do have to have shoes in the basics of life when there's no opportunity to get those things through a means that most people see is the norm. You go out, you have a job, you're able to take care of your family with some money left over to do something maybe fun. You know, imagine that, being able to do something just for the fun of it so that you can grow as a person or go on a holiday. Those opportunities are taken away from areas where government policies themselves have chained down entire sectors of society. That it is saddening me as I travel the world to
more
see.
More than sad, Rob. It's criminal. It's criminal what the government does.
People in every country feel that they're not getting what their representation in politics are promising. They watch their tax dollars go to a war machine that then traumatize other nations. Instead of fixing the communities themselves that need this money, we could all have a huge basic wage if we stop buying missiles that are just basically burning money up and battleships and stuff.
Half Amen. Of our country's annual earnings goes to the DOD. Yeah.
Yes, sir. You know, America is the everyone looks at America as being the greatest nation on earth, you know, the land of the free, the home of the brave. But we have more people incarcerated in this country than any country in the world. You can combine Russia with communist, well, China's not communist anymore, I don't think. But we have more people incarcerated in this country than any country on earth. Now, how can that be in a country that's supposed to be so great, so magnificent, and the leader of the free world?
Land of the free, home of the slave.
Yes, sir. Chrissy, I had a question, though.
It's in our Constitution. In the 13th Amendment, it says incarcerated people can be slaves. So what does that say about our own morality? We're talking about the morality of the men that we're incarcerating. What about the morality of our Constitution? We're saying slavery is okay. How is that possible?
Our Constitution has been totally discarded by this government
and
politicians. They swear an oath to the Constitution once they're elected. But once they get in office, they just totally disregard our rights that are guaranteed in that sacred document. But Fritz, I wanted to ask you, the prisoners that you interact with in prison, how many of them have been victims of the Child Protective Services? Now, in my studies, in my readings, I found that the vast majority of prisoners that are currently incarcerated come directly from the Child Protective Services. They have been removed from their parents and placed in these institutionalized foster care. And from that system, they eventually wind right up in the prison system. And the government is benefiting financially from both systems that they instituted. It's a form of suppression, oppression. It's unjust, it's unright, and it's definitely against the rights of man and God.
There's
in many ways more than that.
There's one man that was in the circle in the film that we did. I won't tell you who it is, but he was in foster care. He was raped hundreds of times. He was abused. I mean, the dehumanization this poor man has been through. And I'm not allowed to touch any prisoners, but I wish I could have given him a hug, because this man needs a hug more than anyone I know. And what we've done to these poor young men, and then incarcerate them for doing something, you know, that you expect them to do after being demeaned and dehumanized like they've been. I mean, the foster care system is ridiculous. Watch the Netflix special, The Trials of Gabriel Hernandez, and you will see what Department of Services does to our children. It's just unconscionable.
Yes, ma'am. We have a show, V is the host of Family Case Files. And we feature parents who have been unjustly separated from their children by the Child Protective Services. We hear their stories, and yes, we're putting it out there, trying to bring awareness to the criminality that is currently occurring in that foul system. hopefully that we can enlighten enough people that we can institute some change and save future generations of children, because our children are our future. And
yes,
no one any good locking them up in a child foster care or in a prison system years later. This must change.
Yeah, real quick question. Real quick question for y'all. Do you think we'd be better off without government at all?
Well, there always has to be some sorts of rules that people have to abide by. There's the rules of you know, natural law that people inherently know what's right and what's wrong. We have that instilled in us. We're born with that. So we really don't need a government to guide us and instruct us in our behavior and how to live our lives.
Well, I was going to say, I'll definitely say that we don't need the micromanagement, you know, building code enforcement. Oh, no, this is an inch too short. You know, you got to tear it down. And, you know, little stuff like that. Your tire's 2 inches away from the curb. Here's a citation.
Absolutely.
Come on, people.
It's definitely everything that they do is to find a way to get money. They rape us with taxes, and the things are overpriced. We are underpaid, and the criminal justice system is based on money. You go into a courtroom and you could be accused of the most heinous crime, but if you have $2 million, you can walk out of that courtroom on bail. But the poor people who are accused of crimes, in most cases, like you said, Fritzy, they are crimes of passion, or they have just, you know, they snapped, as we all subject to do. And now their lives are ruined, their families are ruined. But if they don't have the money, they have thrown away into a cage, and that's the end. No one cares or hears from them ever again. It's just shameful. Well,
it's a shame. Well, hey, and you know, we need to change this. We're changing this, guys. Let's all decide that this is not going to be what we're doing anymore. And that's the way things change, is we decide it's going to be different, and it will be. That's what I'm just telling you.
Absolutely.
A nice question for the young lady real quick, because she's familiar with the prison system. Let's say this COVID-19 was really real, and it was as infective as they said it was. Think of the prison system. All of these guards and stuff get sick. These people are locked up. Now we're going to have a cage full of dead people.
That's right.
What kind is that their destiny? Some of them got 2 years, some got 3 years, some got life, some got death penalty. But the only ones who really get the justice out of COVID-19 killing everybody and they can't get out are the ones who had the death penalty from the get-go, if in fact they actually committed the crime, in which we can't determine whether they did or didn't. But the point of the matter is that this COVID-19 second wave, holy crap, what the hell is that going to be? And if it does come in, how do these prisoners survive this? How do they get out of this? They don't. They're stuck.
Well, I talked to one of the prisoners. He called me on the phone, and he said, you know, when they searched my cell, they handcuffed me behind my back. I don't have a mask. There's nothing I can do. And, you know, I mean, he's exposed. I mean, just talk about being vulnerable. And then, you know, when you're traumatized, these invisible threats like COVID triggers you beyond belief. I mean, you know, I know a war vet, he's one of our volunteers. He just went crazy with this COVID stuff. He just started cleaning up his house, and, you know, it was a real big trigger for him. So these poor men and women in prison.
Yeah, it's detrimental. Listen, guys, we got to go to another commercial break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility? as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500. It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
This is the Double Dosage After Show, guys. And, you know, a lot of good discussion here. I believe we are all in agreement with what's going on concerning our government and society. And it really all boils down to society stepping up, because we place actually too much blame on the government and not take enough responsibility for ourselves. Our government no longer fears us. Okay.
You know,
the saying, right?
Yes, sir.
You
said we place too much blame in our government. In my opinion, we place too much trust in our government. And our government does not have our best interests at heart. The criminal justice system is based on violence and corruption. I mean, it's a violent, terrible place to be. It's like no one deserves to be locked away in a cage. I mean, human beings are not meant to live that way. And sometimes, you know, the guards that are in there, you know, speaking as, you know, from the point of view of being a former corrections officer, a lot of the corrections officers in the prison system are wannabe police officers, but they didn't make the cut. So now they're in there and they're taking out their frustrations and aggravations and their traumas, Fritzy, on these poor prisoners. They are at their mercy. And it's just, there's no words to describe, you know, how tragic and terrible that this system is. You know, I wanted to interject. Like, my father, he was born in 1936, and he was incarcerated while he was in the military, in a military prison. And I don't know if everyone's probably seen the movie The Dirty Dozen with Lee Marvin, when they took all the prisoners out of jail and they sent them over into a combat situation during World War II. Well, the same thing happened to the prisoners that were incarcerated in the early 50s. And my father was taken out of the military prison in Fort Dix, New Jersey. He was placed on a basically, he said, it was like a cruise ship. Then they sailed the ship down to Puerto Rico and took all the prisoners out of jail there. Then they went to Jamaica, did the same thing, and then he went to Cuba. There were three ships that floated over to Korea. My father told me this story. And they trained while they were on board the ships for 3 months until they got to their destination. Once they arrived in Korea, they were a Ranger battalion. Now, you took the most, these guys are in great shape. You know, they have the aggravation and the frustration to, well, not aggravation and frustration, but they make excellent soldiers in a combat situation. And they went over there and they kicked butt. So why can't our government find some way to take these prisoners and make them more productive? I'm not saying ship them all off to war, but do something else that would give them the opportunity to re-enter society, like you said, Fritzy, and become productive members of our society.
Absolutely. That's why we have I've created a thing called the Giving Back Project, where we acknowledge that these men and women have committed crimes, and they have to find ways to give back to their communities, you know, through whatever they can, whatever, if they can raise money, if they can become entrepreneurs, if they can write a poem, if they can draw a card, whatever it is, a crime has been committed, a harm has been made. Let's find ways to heal these wounds and get these men back into their communities where they can help heal their communities. They can rebuild these communities. I mean, there's strong men sitting in there. They can rebuild all the houses. They can mow all the lawns. They can paint all the houses. Let's get everybody busy let's do an extreme makeover on this entire United States. Let's move the bus and show magnificence for once.
That is an excellent idea. The giving back program that you said that you create, that is wonderful. Because not only have the prisoners served their time, they paid their debt to society. Now they are voluntarily giving back to society on their own and healing the wounds that they have, and maybe the victims of their crimes may have also suffered. They can build roads. They can fix the roads. They can be out there and have, like, you know, during the Depression, when President Roosevelt instituted the public works program and put everyone back to work, they were building roads. They created the Hoover Dam. I mean, we can make America great again, but we can't do it by having millions and millions of productive individuals locked away in cages endlessly for years after years after years. That's just cruel.
It's ironic.
Human.
Yeah, they're ironic.
You couldn't lock them away in a cage like that without someone getting involved and saying, that's wrong, that's unjust. You'd be locked away. You'd be put in prison for locking a dog in a cage like these prisoners are locked away.
Endlessly. Okay. Correction facilities.
Thank you, caller. I want to get to the next caller here and have them comment or question, please.
Hello, V. Good evening. Y'all have tweaked my memory. There's a husband and wife team in the Lone Star State. Their name is Rudy, R-U-D-Y, Rudy and Aaron, E-R-I-N, Davis. Rudy and Aaron Davis. And I forgot the exact name of their prison ministry, but it's dedicated to addressing political prisoners' plight, the plight of political prisoners, people wrongly convicted. And see, I hate the FBI. I'm almost certain that's their website, IHateTheFBI.com. IHateTheFBI.com. And on YouTube, I think it's Lone Star 1776. Lone Star 1776. Okay. We really need to connect with them. And V, there's an amazing presentation on YouTube. The channel is called Through the Book, THRU, Through the Book, one phrase, Through the Book. And the title of the presentation is Get Out of Jail Free. Understand trust law. Get out of jail free. Understand trust law. Guaranteed, whenever anyone goes in even to contest something, all legal actions are processed the same way, and it's predicated on institutionalized ignorance for us, such that when we go in and they say ignorance of the law is no excuse, so hire a lawyer. Well, unfortunately, the Bar Esquire Attorney's allegiance is to the Bar. It's an international private corporation emanating from the Inns of Court in London. And so then after the Bar, it would be to the judge in the court. The so-called client is just a sacred cash cow fleecing operation. And it's all predicated upon our lack of knowledge as to how we are being represented as a feudal slave subject. So this presentation through the book entitled Get Out of Jail Free, Understand Trust Law is very super critical for everybody. And beyond that, I want you all to know there's another presenter on YouTube. I've mentioned him before, High Frequency Radio. And he has several, but the one that is precisely dedicated to this subject matter, all legal actions, all statutory color of law legal actions, apply to this presentation, and its title is UCC, that's Uniform Commercial Code, UCC, Legal Tyranny, Free Yourself. UCC, Legal Tyranny, Free Yourself. And this applies to all legal actions, criminal and civil. UCC, Legal Tyranny, Free Yourself. It's an absolutely stellar presentation, absolutely liberatingly empowering. So is the previous one, Get Out of Jail Free, Understand Trust Law. So,
okay. Well, I want to thank you for that information. We have to get on to our next caller. Let's get him on. Next caller, please.
Yeah, good evening. I'm in support of everything you're talking about, and I've been fighting the system for about 40 years now, in and out of jail, fighting the system, because they got the power, and you're just kind of like scratching away at trying to point out to them that the power that they have is their own minds and not any legal status. I would recommend a book called Mbutu, Contributionalism by Michael Tellinger. It gives us a whole background on the money system. But why I'm calling is, what I've found over time is that beating your head against the wall doesn't really make any productive headway. And what I've noticed in this plandemic, because this is definitely a plandemic, is the fact that what we really have to do is put our cards on the table and really state where we are. And my belief system is that what we need to do is organize our neighborhoods, get together with our local sheriff, have a solidarity front, but more importantly, we need to grow our own food. Chickens, eggs, goats, milk, any vegetables, whatever. We need to get the neighborhood together, because I'm thinking that not this year, but the next summer, when Wuhan, which is the agricultural center of China, and our agricultural center have totally collapsed, people are going to be starving. And if you don't get your local people on the same page as you are, it's going to be a very dark day next summer.
Yeah, there's food shortages coming for sure. That's why people need to prepare in advance and definitely make a relationship with your local farmer. You know, you could barter the sweat of your brow for a meal for sure.
Well, that's it. Keep up the good work. Great show. I just wanted to make sure that people kind of figured out that you know, if you keep fighting the system, the system's got the power. I mean, you're not going to make any headway in the fact that, you know, when it comes down next summer and we're probably very short of food, you know, being on the right side of the law is not going to really put stuff in your stomach. So beware that the real key to things is knowing your neighbors, getting close to your neighbors, knowing your sheriff, making sure that he's on the same page as you are, and then kind of, you know, bunkering in and writing this thing out.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Thank you, caller. Thank you.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Rob.
In a situation where, okay, if you say we're going through programs with prisoners for them to deal with their trauma, well, what's going to be done for the victims of the crimes? So if somebody, let's say, somebody was raped by somebody in the person that did it was convicted and went to prison and was supposed to serve a certain sentence, which would give the person that was a victim of that crime a sense of security. And then they hear that because they've gone through a program of self-awareness, whatever kind of therapies, that they've been released early. And this person then has to worry about this happening to them again, or even actually seeing the person that perpetrated the crime on them walking free in their town. What can be done for those people that were the victims?
Absolutely. This is very important. This should not be underestimated. The victims need to feel safe, and they need to see the problem with the criminal justice system the way it is right now. The person who is the victim doesn't really have any access or participation in the tribunal. What needs to happen is a thing called restorative justice, where the person who commits the crime has to sit in a circle with the victims, and it is acknowledged that a harm has been made, and what are the steps that the person who committed the crime needs to take to make this person whole? I mean, you know, does he need to leave the state? What does he need to do to make sure this person feels safe? That this crime is never going to happen again. This is what happened. This is what the American Indians did, you know, for centuries. You know, these circles where everyone is equal in the circle. Whether you committed the crime or whether you're the victim, you're still on equal footing, in the sense that we are all humans, in the sense that we all understand we have to repair this. A victim watches the trial, and then suddenly the person is sent away for life or whatever the sentence is, but the trauma is still there. The person is still traumatized. There's no resolution. You know, it's just this very sterile kind of, impersonal thing, when what we really need is to connect in a community and start making amends and making right instead of, you know, festering away in a cell for the rest of your life or being put on death row. You know, I mean, these things have to be addressed directly instead of in a vacuum. That's my position.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about. I know there's a famous case where the victim of the crime, in this case, it was Michael Jordan. His father was murdered in North Carolina at the time. The death penalty was sought out by the state, and Michael Jordan intervened, if you will, and said he didn't believe in that. His father wouldn't have believed in that and sought a different punishment for the people that murdered his father. So I think that definitely needs to be a consideration, is what the victims themselves want to see done as justice. Justice is very cold, just ice. You know, it can be a very impersonal process. You know, but when you got legislators and their job is to make more rules, right? They're not going to just sit there and not legislate things. So we get more and more clamped down as far as what we're allowed to do freedoms-wise by big government. I know somebody asked earlier if we believe we could go without government, but I think government exists in many forms. In a tribe of, let's say, an indigenous people, there was elders that would meet in. Decide the justice for things, transgressions,
exactly.
Basic rules of society that needed to be followed. You know, the earn what you get, help when you can attitude would be really nice to see everybody get. You know, that symbiosis that we seem to have lost, you know, calling ourselves human rather than humane needs to be addressed in this world a lot. I do push that. As part of my activism, is that we need to be symbiotic and put humanity, make it humanity, so we take care of everything around us.
And ask the victim, do they want the person that committed the crime to be abused in jail and tortured and, you know, put in solitary confinement? Ask the victims how they want the incarcerated person to be treated. I mean, that, you know, the victim isn't considered in this. This is just, you know, it's a system of domination and control that, you know, we've decided is the way it needs to be. Well, we can make a new decision. It needs to be different now. We need to, you know, we have to bring humanity to this whole equation.
Absolutely. Because countless victims have stood up in courtrooms at the sentencing of prisoners that are being incarcerated and said that they forgive them for their crime and that they wouldn't want to see them unjustly treated or put to death, or that they actually forgive them because they have that goodness in them. And, you know, that comes from, I guess, their belief in God and mercy. But there's no mercy in the criminal justice system. It's a brutal, harsh, a punishing system. And they call it Department of Corrections, but it doesn't correct anyone's behavior.
Let me throw something on you. I have a family member who has been in prison for pretty much all of his adult life because he admitted to a rape that he did not commit to keep somebody else out of trouble. And, genetic testing had been done, sampling had been done, and testing happened years later. And the DNA results was inconclusive for it being his DNA. In other words, it wasn't him. They're refusing to let him, let him leave prison because they fear, for one, that that he's going to sue and it's going to totally invalidate the fact that this DNA testing is actually proving a lot of people innocent when they want it to prove people guilty. So it's very punishing, very punishing, very cruel, and it's very unjust. A criminal justice system, if it's a criminal justice system, then only the criminals are getting justice, I'm saying.
That's the thing. We vote people we vote for our DA. We vote for, you know, all these congressmen that keep all of this in place. So we can unvote them. We can put new people in. We can choose our judges. We can choose our congressmen. I mean, let's get busy and reboot this country. We can reboot it. We don't have to be victims of policies we don't agree with. We can say we don't like it and change it. You know, but we really have to get our voices out there and not just, you know, sit around and wait for somebody to do something, because it's not going to happen that way.
Absolutely. We have to shock people out of their complacency and get them involved in this movement. People are just in their own little worlds. They have their white picket fence, their house. They're worried about just their little circle of life. But we're all connected. We have to work together to create a better society.
Well, especially since this COVID thing, guys, once again, they're already using police drones with sensors to track people who may have COVID, supposedly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to get ugly here before it gets any better. So, guys, with that said, I think we've come to the end of the show here. any last tidbits anybody wants to say?
Honor talking with you and learning your cause, Fritzy. It's nice to know there's other people in the world fighting for the goodness and realizing that we need to give the boot to things that need rebooting. That's for sure. I'll be looking forward to talking with you more in the future.
Yeah,
and Fritzy, I just want to say one thing. I think that you're one of God's angels on earth. And, you know, people like you inspire others to do good. That's your mission in life, to bring out the good in everyone.
Well, everyone is good, so that's an easy mission. But we just have to realize it exists and see the good in each other. That's the key. Because, you know, when we share our humanity, we change the world. You know, if we look for our differences, you know, we keep everything in place. And there is no shame, people. You know, let's stop shaming each other. Let's start lifting each other up.
God bless you, Fritzy. God bless you.
Absolutely. I love you all. Thank you. I love you all.
Thank you for being a guest on my program. And, guys, thanks for making it such a wonderful show. Yes, please share these episodes. And let's spread the awareness, and let's get things moving, guys. With that said, I believe we're done for the week, guys. So, yes, thank you for tuning
in.
Great
week.
Thank you, guys.
What's going on? All right. yes. Go ahead, Mike.
Wait for the music.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.